Dorsey Hager, who is executive secretary treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades. You're a Simpsons fan, aren't you, Dorsey?
Huge Simpsons fan. My favorite episode is still the premiere episode. It was my freshman year of college, so I'm going to date myself here. Christmas, December of 89, and it's how they acquired Santa's Little Helper, the family pet. That's still my favorite episode, the very first episode. Of course, they've had thousands of episodes. You know, they've been on for 35 years now. It's just amazing. Yeah. I'm looking forward to Sundays. That's going to be good, though.
That's going to be a good one. Night of the Living Wage. Got to hand it to them for going in that direction. You don't see too much of that, especially on national TV, national networks. All right, a lot of things to cover. We had Mike Nisley on the show a couple of days ago, really got into the Intel plant. And I know he's not too happy with the delays. Nobody is. But it's moving in the right direction. And the good news is Senator Sherrod Brown recently announced about $20 billion for Intel fabs. Well, not just in Ohio. There's several of them going on right now. And this is all part of the CHIPS Act. So, I mean, things are moving in the right direction. Now, you are on the ground there. You're working with all the trades on all this. I'd like to get your perspective on everything that's going on right now. Go ahead, Dorsey.
The Intel job is incredible. Obviously, the first phase, the two fabs, are moving full steam ahead. They're getting ready to start the front of the office stuff with the office building, some of the parking lots for the support staff. I would say probably midsummer, they're going to break ground on the water treatment plant. We're not sure of a price tag on that yet, but I would expect that to be around probably $650 million, which is kind of a big job just in itself. But, you know, we've all known for a while that this CHIPS announcement was coming. We didn't know of how much and stuff. But basically with the awarding of the CHIPS money that was announced out in Arizona by President Biden and the UA's business manager out there, he was there at the press conference and spoke as well about the importance of it. You take the CHIPS money, and then you take the tax abatements that the state of Ohio has done here, their commitments to workforce and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I think the total price tag then is right around $28 billion. So basically, to put that in perspective, the first phase of this four-phase project is anywhere between $20 to $25 billion. So they're going to get the first phase here in Ohio built pretty much for free, and then a little bit of seed money for the second phase. So people are asking my reaction or what I think is going to happen. Obviously, with equipment and materials and stuff, because, you know, we're not building a school, we're not building an office building. There's a lot of specific equipment that goes in to building these fabs. Sometimes there's quite a lengthy time to get this equipment. So with that being said, I don't think the schedule is going to be compacted or increased right away. But what I do expect to happen, because my understanding, and this goes back to the groundbreaking a few years ago, Intel is committed to building out these 3,000 acres through four phases, which would be a total of eight fabs. What I would expect is once we get ramped up on the first phase and we're building these two fabs, and as that starts to work towards completion, instead of laying off operating engineers or, you know, pipe fitters for electricians, I think they'll and roll them right over to the second phase, you know, while they've got their workforce here and established and just keep rolling on. So I would say out there in Licking County, you know, Intel, Bechtel, phase one, phase two, the first two to four fabs, I'd say it looks very promising for the next very minimum eight, probably close to 12 years.
Sherrod Brown has commented as saying there's never been a construction project like this in the Midwest. That's quite a statement. And he says maybe not just the Midwest, but the country. We're talking work for 7,000 union workers in the skilled trades over 10 years, 3,000 workers in those fabs once they open. Are you pretty much in agreement with that, Dorsey?
Totally in agreement. I mean, I want to be cautious in what I speak of because I don't want to say anything that's proprietary. But, like, you know, last year when I was out in Portland, there wasn't a whole lot going on. And that is an enormous facility. And we walked it. And again, you have to think of a job site the size of this. So, again, it's not like a hospital or a school where you can kind of see how many workers are on site, what they're doing, what they're, you know. I mean, we were there and we saw workers. But just because of the expanse of the job, I didn't see hundreds or thousands of workers. You know, I saw some electricians over here rewiring some things. I saw some pipe fitters retooling some things. I saw some laborers doing general cleanup and moving materials. But afterwards, I met with Pat Miller, and I said, how many building trades people are on site right now? And he's like, oh, we're just doing a lot of maintenance and stuff like that. He's like, but he's like, I think there's right around 2,500 building trades people on site. So think about it. With nothing going on, there's still 2,500 building trades people on site. That's Wow. That's just incredible. So, yeah, I fully expect that for us to have a minimum of 3,000 people out there. But as they keep building this out, I think it'll ramp up to 7,000, maybe 10,000. So it's going to be quite an opportunity for a lot of folks. I mean, you and I have talked about this in the past. There's there's electricians in Licking County. There's pipe fitters out of 189. There's laborers out of 423. They could be coming into the apprenticeship or coming through Building Futures right now. They could, because we have a lot of Building Futures graduates out there, they could be going out to that job and they could be retiring on that job. I can totally see that.
Dorsey, you mentioned the water treatment plant, and I wrote the number down. Was it $650 million? And maybe you could refresh our listeners, too, because these plants, they take a lot of water on a given day. What was that amount? And are we moving in the right direction, getting enough people to handle that treatment plant?
Yeah, so the laborers are obviously doing a ton of organizing. The pipe fitters are doing a ton of organizing. They're expanding their apprenticeship classes. I talked to Rodney French yesterday from the sheet metal workers. You know, a large class for them, it's probably 45 people. They fully expect for their next five classes to have a minimum of 100 students. So I think that we're ramping up. I think we're doing everything that we need to do. Going back to my CHIPS Learning 101, I think a lot of these plants utilize right around 2 million gallons of water per day in the chip making process, which is quite a bit of water. So the on-site water treatment plant is important. The water treatment plant that the Columbus is going to do, I think, is supposed to break ground at the end of next year in Northeast Ohio. I think that's going to be huge to help with a lot of these growth and expansion out there as well. So I think it's going to be really, really important that we continue to expand our pre-apprenticeship, expand our apprenticeship, but also get out there and organize and find folks that maybe feel like that they're being underpaid or underutilized working in the open market or merit shop sector, and that we're bringing them into the fold too, to let them know about these great jobs that are going on, great pay, great benefits.
Yeah, speaking of that, we had a great conversation with Doreen Cannon, formerly president of the Plumbers Local 55 here in Northeastern Ohio. They did a career fair last week, and they got almost 400 people showing up. And I know you've done similar things in Central Ohio. And in my opinion, and Doreen's as well, it seems like there's been a shift, because a lot of young people, and you know this, they've been going towards college, and the high schools are graded on that too. But we've had that conversation many, many times. But it seems like there's more and more young people saying, hey, especially here, like the Intel plant, and one that we're going to talk about too, Amazon, the things that are going on in Central Ohio and various parts of the country. Do you feel that there's a shift now of young people saying, you know what, I think I'm going to go into the trades?
Yeah, I think there's a huge shift, especially as we increase our apprenticeship rates. Columbus and Central Ohio is a unique market. I know we've talked about this, but it's you can go out, to a Costco and get a job making $22 to $26 an hour with a full benefit package. Now, granted, there's not a lot of upside to that. You're not going to be making a lot more money after that. But we've worked hard with our contractors. We're working through our collective bargaining agreements to increase, our first year wages to get them up anywhere between the $18 to $22 an hour range, so that an apprentice coming in is making a good first year wage plus a great health package, great pension, great annuity, all that stuff. So I'm seeing, I just had this conversation yesterday. I'm seeing young people, I can go to college. It's going to take me 4 to 5 years to graduate. Then I'm going to have to get a job. Then I'm going to have to get established. So before I'm making any real money, maybe it's 7 to 10 or maybe even 12 years. Whereas you can come into the trades right away. You're making a good living wage. You've got a great benefit package. Your third year, you know, you're making really good money too. You're probably approaching anywhere from $60,000 to $80,000 a year. And then, you know, when you turn out, you know, we have several people across all trades once they turn out that are making six figures plus. So the opportunities are tremendous there. And I think you're right. I think young people are starting to see that. Plus, you know, a lot of it's generational. I think young people, you know, don't want to wait till their 30s to buy a house and really start experiencing that American dream and making a lot of money. I think a lot of young people want to start that off right away, and I see that they think that their path to the trades is able to do that quicker than maybe going the college route.
Yeah, those six-figure salaries is getting their attention. There's no question, no question there. I was reading earlier that Amazon purchased over 200 acres in Pickaway County. Now what are they building, Dorsey?
So I think this goes back to their announcement last year to their commitment to spend $7.8 billion on data centers, you know, in the next 5 to 8 years. So they purchased another 200-plus acres in Pickaway County, which is right across from the Franklin County line, which is, you know, right here smack dab huge in Central Ohio, which increases their presence. But, you know, I'm having some initial conversations with them. Their goal in the next 5 to 8 years is to ramp up data center construction. They need to keep up with demand. They're not done yet. I think there'll be more even after that. But, you know, we talked about this about 10 or 11 years ago. Facebook came and Facebook made the comment that, you know, we're like McDonald's. Once we come there, everyone else is going to come there. You know, when you get off on an exit, you see a McDonald's, you see a Burger King, you see a Wendy's. Well, Facebook came, then Google, you know, Microsoft, Amazon. So I think Amazon, even though they came to the market a little late, I think they're really wanting to dump a lot of money in and get their data center presence increased. And this is just the purchase of land is just proving, you know, that they're serious about their commitment. So it'll be interesting to see what the build out is down there. 200 plus acres. I say we could probably expect 3 to 4 data centers down there, maybe some support buildings, probably, I don't know, $2 billion worth of work. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
All right, let's talk about the expansion of the Columbus Airport. I know this has been a thorn in your side because of this non-union contractor that got the job, and I guess they don't want to do a community benefit agreement. Anything you can update us on regarding that, Dorsey?
Well, it's kind of like they say, you know, well, I guess I'm going to go against the old adage. They say no news is good news. Well, I would say no news is bad news. And the bad news is this. You know, talks are still going. I think we're getting a little bit closer. You know, Mike has been spearheading the conversations. County Commissioner Kevin Boyce has inserted himself because all of our electeds want to see a deal done. They don't want to see labor strife for the next 4 years out at the Columbus Airport, especially with Congresswoman Beatty flying in and out of there every day. They know Sherrod Brown's going to be flying in and out a lot during an election year. They know President Biden's going to be flying in and out during an election year. And, you know, we know Sherrod Brown and Joe Biden are not going to cross picket lines. So that ain't going to happen. So, you know, the local electeds are very in tune. They're hoping we can get a deal done. You know, there was an article on Construction Dive last week where Hensel Phelps has been accused again of not paying proper wages and benefits. This is incredibly recent at the U.S. Naval Facility out in San Diego. Commissioner Boyce is aware of all these infractions. He's incredibly concerned. He understands that the community benefit agreement will protect all workers on the job, union, non-union, black, white, especially locals. So we'll see what happens. So that's where we're at. That's where we're at with the airport.
That's so sad. That's so sad that happened. And we're talking a big chunk of money here. And I know you're working hard on it.
And the kind of funny thing is we're starting to get some people poke their heads up. And, you know, you're finding out who your friends are and who your friends aren't. You know, there's a lot of folks in the community, maybe business or development. And they're like, you know, why are you guys raising such a stink? You know, why this, why that? And it's like, this is a $2 billion project. We're wanting to protect all workers on this project because it's going to be the largest project ever done in the city of Columbus. And the CEO, Joe Nardone, has even made a few comments, you know, that he doesn't appreciate what Dorsey Hager's saying about the airport, the Port Authority, and him on his radio podcast. And I said, well, first of all, I don't have a radio podcast, but most importantly, Flash, that's one listener that we got that I've brought to the table. So that's good. That's a good thing, right? But I can segue into a second listener that we know that we have. Chris Gardner is coming to Columbus on April 15th. He's going to do two assemblies. He's going to do one at East High School, and he's going to do one at Fort Hays. He's going to talk about the importance of the trades, workforce development programs, soft skills. And then Leland Bass is going to talk about all the programs that they do at CCHF, including our award-winning Building Futures program. So it's going to be incredible. And Chris heard about this because his friend, Fred Redmond, is on every month with me. And Chris has been listening to your podcast, and he reached out to Fred and he said, hey, tell me about this Building Futures program in Columbus. And Fred is like, oh man, this thing is great. They're getting people from the underserved community training they need, getting them into the middle class, getting them to apprenticeships, all these job opportunities. So happy to be able to collaborate with Chris and his team, and looking forward to him coming on April 15th. And when we talk again in a month, I'll let you know how everything went, but I'm really excited about it.
And give me his cell phone, too. I want to get him on the show. I, that's one heck of an individual. Those of you listening right now, Chris was all about pursuit of happiness. If you saw that movie some years back, that was basically his life story. And he is giving back to the community. He formed this partnership with the AFL-CIO and the building trades about 2 years ago. So that is good news, certainly good news. Glad to hear that. Okay, you wanted to say something about the... we had the primary a couple of weeks ago, and you wanted to do a shout-out here for some of the people that you supported? Is that right?
Yeah, so Christine Cockley, a good friend of mine, and a lot of folks worked their butts off to help her. She was elected in the Ohio House 6th District, a crowded primary, 17 people. That's an incredibly gerrymandered district. It's about an 82% DPI. When they redrew the maps, spearheaded by the Republicans, they jammed a lot of Democrats in that district. So Christine's going to win that race in November. She's going to be elected. She's going to go to the state house. So proud of her. We talk all the time about how important voting matters. In the 10th, which is a contested primary as well, the two Democrats that are still fighting it out post-election day, 24 votes separate them, is a gentleman on Grove City Council named Mark Sechrist. And then Sarah Pomeroy. Sarah's down 24 votes right now. They're supposed to be counting provisionals as we speak, and they're supposed to announce today a winner, and we'll see if it's close enough to trigger a recount or not. But and then, obviously, the most watched primary in the country, the Trump-endorsed Bertie Moreno pulled away from Dolan. Frank LaRose, man, another loss. That's three in a row in less than 6 months, so. Be interesting to see where his political career goes from there. But that kind of sums up the primary, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, every vote counts. That was a close one. You said, did I hear 24 votes separated the two?
24 votes. Yep,
wow.
24 votes.
My gosh, we'll see what happens there. All right, we're going to leave it on that note. Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer, Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. I'll let you get back to work. Keep working on that airport. We'll get an update next month, okay?
Will do, Flash. Thanks for all you do. We're in full swing baseball season now, post-opening day, so I'm sure we'll have a lot more to talk about in a month. So thanks, Flash.
You got it.
Have a good weekend.
Okay.